We want to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And we're going to glean things from the whole of this chapter this morning that are quite important. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding the 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias which was to come. For he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father, knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. We thank thee, our Father, for your abundant grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for the revelation that you've given us concerning yourself and concerning your Son. We thank you for the Spirit of God who has revealed the Father and the Son to us in full harmony with all the members of the Godhead. And we praise you for this. Now we pray that as we multiply words upon this portion that was read, that you will take the words and use them to penetrate hearts and to teach us of him who is meek and lowly in heart, in order that we leave this morning finding rest for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible reading, which was very lengthy this morning, you'll notice that there's discouragement. Not only is there discouragement, but we also have discernment. But then we have also judgment. And we want to consider these things this morning. We want to consider discouragement. We want to consider discernment. And we want to consider judgment. In the great invitation at the close of this chapter, our Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our Lord said, we are to learn of him. And then he has the added blessing, ye shall find rest unto your souls. So when we learn of him, we find rest for our souls, our whole being. So the question could be asked this morning, where did schools originate? Our Lord says, learn of me. We are living in an age when people talk a lot about education. When a premium is put upon education, it's so important. Where did schools originate? As we know, schools today, they originated with Plato in Athens. Plato studied with Socrates. Plato recruited his students from a playing field, like a soccer field. That's where he recruited his students, and his school became known as an academy. And then Aristotle, he studied under Plato for 20 years. He started a school. He started a school also from a playing field. It was another playing field, and he called it the Lyceum. It's interesting that the Greek word for schools is gymnasium. Now we know that term, don't we? In Germanic nations, they call their primary schools gymnasiums. The French call their primary schools lycees. In English-speaking countries, they are called academies. Our Lord says, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Our lesson today, our Bible reading, begins with a discouraged man, John the Baptist. John the Baptist is discouraged for a number of reasons. He's in prison, and the Lord doesn't seem to do anything about it. John is a great preacher. John had multitudes of people following him. How would you like to sit in prison after speaking well of the Lord? And it seems the Lord didn't do anything for him. And John is perplexed. He asks himself questions. Is the Lord able? Is he able? Does he really care? Does Jesus care? Brother Bobby sang this morning, through it all. In all that we go through, does the Lord Jesus care? And then the final question that probably perplexed John more than any other, is he truly the Messiah? Is the Lord Jesus truly the Messiah? These are questions that John the Baptist had. So what did he do? He did the right thing. He took two of his disciples and sent them to the Lord Jesus. And when they came, they said, we have a question for you. Are you truly the Messiah? Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? Now, what did our Lord say? How did he answer? He answered the very same way that Bobby sang this morning. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. You'll notice our Lord didn't say, you tell John I'm the Messiah. He didn't say that. What our Lord did, he sent him to the scriptures. That's what he did. He said, go and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. He said, in other words, he said, the scriptures teach, in Isaiah 35 in particular, what the Messiah would do. The blind would see, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, the poor would have the gospel preached to them. If the word of God says that, which is what the Messiah will do, then I fit the picture. Our Lord is dealing with the word of God. And that's what the Lord does to us. He sends us back to Holy Scripture. He's given us the word. We have nothing else but the word, and that's all that we need. Now, our Lord, in his great invitation at the end of the chapter, he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. But we have to go a little deeper. Why was John the Baptist discouraged? Who was John anyway? Well, he's discouraged because John the Baptist was a cousin of the Lord Jesus. He was what we would call a close relative to the Lord, according to the flesh. And Jesus failed to fulfill the expectations of John as to what the Messiah would do. John expected something else than what he saw. John preached repentance. He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Judgment is coming. John the Baptist said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Keep that in mind. John the Baptist said the Messiah isn't interested in lopping off some of the top branches. He's going to lay bare the root. He's going to deal with the root of the problem. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And then he said to the people, don't be satisfied with man-made religion. Don't be satisfied with saying, I have Abraham to my father. Well, that's an easy thing to do. I remember one time I was preaching in the county jail in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I was just around 20 years of age. And there were a few fellows there who didn't come out to the service. They were right behind the doors and they tried to make as much noise to keep everybody else from hearing. But I got to talk with one of these fellows who was back there after the meeting. Oh, two of his sisters were in a convent. He had an uncle who was a priest in the church. He was all right. It was all right for him to make noise that nobody else could hear. It was like saying, I have Abraham to my father. Everything's automatic for me. Everything's taken care of. I have Abraham to my father. John the Baptist said, don't you say that. Don't think because Abraham or because you're a Jew by nature that everything is all right, that you are related to Abraham according to the flesh. To use the language of Romans chapter 9, that not all Israel which are of Israel is basically what John the Baptist was saying. But John preached judgment. But judgment didn't come. What did John see instead? Grace. Instead of judgment, it's grace. Now when John the Baptist's disciples left the Lord Jesus, the Lord had some great things to say about John. I'd love to dwell on them, but I'm going to mention three very quickly. He said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Our Lord said of John, he's not a compromiser. He doesn't wet his finger to see which way the wind's blowing and go that way. That's not John the Baptist. He's not a compromiser. A compromiser wouldn't say to a despotic king, you're an adulterer. It's wrong for you to have your brother Philip's wife. He wouldn't do that. Then he said, what went you out for to see? A man in soft raiment? He's not a celebrity either. John the Baptist isn't a celebrity. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. A prophet and more than a prophet. And it would be delightful if we had a few more hours this morning to go into those statements our Lord makes concerning the greatness of John, that of them born of a woman, there hath not arisen a greater than John. And that he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Oh, what a message. But we want to deal with another message this morning. And it's a message of judgment. I believe this is a message that needs to be sounded throughout the churches of America today. Our Lord said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. and thou Capernaum which art exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. We need to think these words over of our blessed Lord. Now, we don't like to think about judgment, do we? We don't like to think about judgment because we hate to admit there's going to be one. Acts 17:31 says, God now commandeth all men to repent, for he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man he hath ordained. And he hath given assurance to all, he raised him from the dead. There will be a judgment. Now, we don't like to think about it, but we don't like to completely deny it either. You see, but we imagine that if there is one, we're going to come out okay. In a lot of ways, we're like the Pharisees that John the Baptist preached to. Say not we of Abraham as our fathers. That's what John's message was. Don't depend upon fleshly relationships when it comes to eternal life. Now the question is, who was Chorazin? Who was Bethsaida? And what about Capernaum? Upon whom our Lord pronounced woes? Well, friends, these are the cities wherein our Lord performed most of his mighty miracles. Our Lord made his home in Capernaum. Did you ever hear anybody say, you ought to come to our church? We meet in the name of the Lord. We have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You ought to come to our place. Have you ever heard that? Capernaum could say, boy, you ought to live in our town. The Lord Jesus lives with us. We know his home. It's right over on such and such a street. The Messiah has moved in with us. Capernaum. What did our Lord say to Capernaum? You're exalted to heaven, but you're going to be brought down to hell. This is awesome statements. This is reality. Did you ever think of going through the New Testament and seeing why these cities were so important and why our Lord pronounced woes upon them? In Matthew 8, a centurion's servant is healed in Capernaum. In Matthew 8, Peter's mother-in-law is healed in Capernaum. In Matthew 9, our Lord healed a palsied man who is carried by four. They opened the roof to let the man down to the roof where our Lord was teaching. In Matthew 9, our Lord raised a dead girl to life, the daughter of Jairus. And then, on the way to the home of Jairus, he healed the woman with an issue of blood. She had gone to doctors for 12 years, and she wasn't any better. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. And then in Matthew 9, our Lord restored sight to two blind men. And also in Matthew 9, our Lord healed a deaf mute enabling him to both hear and speak, in spite of all these miracles. These people in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum did not repent. Therefore, this judgment is announced by our Lord. There's something our Lord is teaching us here. And it's awesome. And that is, there's going to be degrees of punishment. The punishment that is meted out in the judgment is going to be in degrees. Now, when you think of evil persons, who do you think of? We think of Hitler. We think of Stalin and others in history who were notable for their iniquity. We think of that. But there's a biblical principle that our Lord invokes here. And it's a biblical principle that's found in the 12th chapter of Luke. And I want you to turn to it. I want you to read this with me. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. That's the end of the verse that I want. Well, we'll take the whole verse. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The biblical principle here is right brings responsibility. Right brings responsibility. The people of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, where our Lord performed his great miracles. As you read in the 9th of chapter of Isaiah, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. The light has shone upon those people, and they rejected it. Light brings responsibility. Now, I'm going to put it right to you this morning. Are you people responsible? Having a brother like William McNeil here for years, having ministry by Brother Joe Gould and others week after week, not giving you fanciful ideas, but opening Holy Scripture. Are you responsible? Light brings responsibility. That's an awesome thought. To think of sitting under the ministry of Brother McNeil for a few years, opening the scriptures, and other brethren as well. I could name a list of men who come here and open the scriptures. It brings responsibilities. But the awesome part is this. God's judgments are not only based on what you do. They are based upon what others would have done had they had the opportunity that you had. That's what the scripture is teaching. And this is what theologians call the middle knowledge of God. The middle knowledge of God. Our Lord said that if Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon, they would have repented. If the miracles that were done in Galilee had been done in their cities. At the final judgment, when men stand before God, God will take into account all the light that was given to them. He'll not only take into account all the light that was given to them, but he'll take into account the light that wasn't given to people in Africa, in South America, and in other parts of the world. God can do this. It's an awesome thought. If Sodom and Gomorrah and Tyre and Sidon would have repented, had God given them the light that he gave to Capernaum, why didn't he do it? Why didn't God give Sodom and Gomorrah and Capernaum that light? That teaches us a lesson. God does not owe salvation to anybody. God does not owe anybody salvation. Do you think this morning that God owes you mercy? Do you think that? Let me tell you this. If it were owed, it would not be mercy. If it were owed, it would not be mercy. The only thing that God actually owes us is justice and judgment. And we will get it if we don't turn in repentance to the only one who can show mercy. Even our Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to another subject that's right here, intermingled with the judgment of God, and that's the doctrine of election. God now turns in the person of Christ to the subject of his electing amazing grace. And what's the first thing our Lord does? He gives thanks. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Does God give thanks for that? Yes, the Lord Jesus did. The last time I was here, I mentioned that hymn. I think we sang it. In closing, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. God doesn't have to stop at your door. He can pass you by. He didn't have to stop at my door. He chose to stop and call me. I would have never been saved otherwise. I thank thee, Father, the Lord Jesus said, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father, and he to whomsoever he will. Reveal him. Salvation, beloved, is a result of revelation. The Spirit of God takes the things of the person of Christ and the person of the Father, and he reveals them to us. The saving work of the triune God. They're in full harmony. God the Father chose God the Son redeemed. God the Holy Spirit applies that to us. And our Lord Jesus said, only the ones to whom he reveals himself. And when you speak of divine revelation, we can speak of general revelation, as you have in Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. And then he speaks of natural revelation, what man can observe by just looking at the universe. For the universe declares the Godhood of God, that God is sovereign, and that this world is ruled by one who is sovereign and all-sufficient. That's what Romans chapter 1 declares. And because of this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For man doesn't like to think about God. And that's what's revealed in Romans chapter 1. But then there's further revelation. There is the revelation of God's holy word. That's what God gave to John the Baptist. And the revelation of God's holy world, holy word, focuses on a holy person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, God hath spoken finally in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now the Lord Jesus said, Father, I thank you. You're Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. But you have revealed them to babes. Are you a baby today? Are you one who can say simply, God has stopped at my door, and he has revealed the person of his Son to me. He has revealed him unto babes. And he said, you do this to whomsoever the Son is pleased, and you're pleased. For that's all in the text. And therefore we can read John chapter 6 and verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father who hath sent me draw him. This is a revelation of a holy God to sinners. This is what our Lord taught in that great sermon on the bread of life in John chapter 6. The church today is busy talking about felt needs. You know, how can I give my kids the best education possible? What can I do so that my children marry into the right family? What can I do to love my husband better? Or love my wife more? How can I arrange my home that is just the way the experts say that it should be? These are the felt needs today. These are what the seminars are all about. Our Lord Jesus said, it's a felt need that you have. It's a need to know me. He says, come. Come unto me. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. Come to me. Come to me. Capernaum. Bethsaida, Chorazin, they missed their opportunity. What did John the Baptist say? You got to go back to John, you know. He said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. How did God do it? He didn't do it by judgment. He did it by grace. The axe was laid at the root of the tree and the Lord pronounced the judgment. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Sodom, in Tyre, in Sidon. When the people from that day stand before God in that day, they're going to be judged for the light to God. You have a need today. Your greatest need is to have a revelation of who Christ is, of who God is. That's your greatest need. Our Lord said, learn of me. He said, come unto me. And I would say in the words of the poet, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. And as another has written, Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven. I would enter the fold. For the promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. We don't like to think of judgment. But judgment is coming. This young man took off in an airplane from New Jersey on Friday night to attend a wedding. The wedding was postponed. He didn't plan that the plane would land in the Atlantic Ocean. Our Lord says to us, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For the word of God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. My friend, God's going to judge you in the light you have. The greater the light, the greater the judgment. I can't avoid it. Neither can you. And we can say to the Lord, Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For the promise is written in bright letters of glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Our Lord says, come to me. Have you come? Have you received the revelation he's given you of himself? Let's pray. We ask thee, our God and our Father, that you will take this word and according to the need, bring comfort that we can say, thank you, Lord, for ever stopping by and revealing yourself to us. Or in conviction, those who heard, who turned a deaf ear, who've gone their own way. Oh God, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to thy matchless grace. For that grace has struck the root of the tree. It deals with our innermost principles. And O God, our Father, we commit this company to thee.